Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest installment of Voices from LLT, our very own in-house language learning and technology podcast. Today, coming from you for you live from Vietnam, from Da Nang, the Asia Call Conference. My name is Hajo Reinders, and today I have the privilege of speaking with my friend, Professor Andrew Lyon. Andrew, welcome.
Hello, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be
here. Thank you. There may be a few people who don't know about Asia Call. You have had some involvement with that, one could say. Can you tell the audience just briefly, what is it?
Sure. Well, Asia Call is a professional and research organization that was established more than 20 years ago. Initially in Korea, it had its first conference in Thailand. And then it's been going on ever since. We've had regular international conferences every year. We've had a small hiatus at various times. But this is our 20th international conference. It's pretty good. And we've attracted quite a lot of people over the years from all over the world.
Right. And this year, 2023, the theme, of course, is?
Well, the theme, of course, is as you would expect, which is artificial intelligence and critical digital literacies, but fundamentally everybody's just talking about ChatGPT and derivatives of that in terms of large language models and other goodies. Actually, we haven't talked a lot at all about pictures and drawing and video. It's been mainly text-based.
So at this conference we have, I think, participants from about 17 different countries, mostly from Asia. There's a couple of people from the United States.
A lot of people from the Philippines.
Yep.
A lot of people from India.
Indonesia. India.
Yes.
Japan. Yeah. Cambodia.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we've tried very hard to do over the years is to make the conference accessible to people in the region whose level of income is not as high as say the West. I've just come back from World Call, where I was a keynote, and the fee there was around $500, which nobody can afford in the region. So our fee here is around, I think, $150 or less, depending on what you're trying to do. And in the past, we were able to offer scholarships, and now it's become more difficult because of the financial squeeze. And also because people are now used to online conferences.
Yeah.
And so the demand for face-to-face conferences is perhaps not quite as high, and people are more used to staying at home and being more comfortable and so on.
So apart from the focus on Asia and the relatively affordable entrance fee, shall we say, is there anything else that makes Asia Call special?
Well, Asia Call is actually one of a number of Asian associations connected with computer-assisted language learning. There's nothing particularly special about Asia Call in the sense that it specializes in one area or another area, but it has created over the years a kind of stream of, well, initially returning people, but somehow it keeps attracting new people all the time, and I think that's pretty good. One of the things that we are interested in doing is that we are interested in the possibility of creating MOUs with universities in the region. And I say this because initially we hadn't thought of it. We had asked people to be country representatives, for example. And so we had somebody in the Philippines, somebody here, somebody there. And it didn't work very well. And then suddenly in the last maybe 4 or 5 years, some universities have come to us and said, "Oh, we'd like an MOU with Asia Call." And I asked them, "Why do you want an MOU with Asia Call?" And they said, "Well, because we can work together on projects, and you're an international association." So they got something out of it. We got something out of it. I have to explain, by the way, that we have no members. We have no members. We have no income apart from the conference. And so we are really constantly renegotiating the connections with people. So back to the MOUs. The MOUs are very handy. We've got four at the moment, with Dongren University, with an Islamic institute in Chirabon, and two universities in Vietnam, Van Lang University and Hanoi University of Industry. And so we're thinking, oh yeah, that's a good way of strengthening the kind of intellectual infrastructure as well as the physical and people infrastructure of AsiaCool.
Well, it certainly feels like a community. This was, I think, my first AsiaCool conference.
Yeah.
And I noticed a lot of people who knew each other, who'd been to several previous conferences, and that's, of course, always very, very nice to see. Just to finish off, how about your own research? What are you focusing on at the moment?
I work in a couple of in two different areas. Actually, it's not very different from you, in a sense that I think we all of us who work in computer assisted language learning are automatically involved in autonomy.
True.
I mean I started all of this back in 1979-1980 when I wrote my first computer program in BASIC on a KL10 deck computer, which was a huge multi-user machine sitting somewhere, and it was actually putting output on paper.
Little cards, right?
No, not cards, but we'd gone past the cards.
Right. Okay.
It was just on paper.
Right.
It was a paper terminal, and then moved on to CRT terminals. So, and the idea behind it at the time was, how can I do something to do two things? One was to personalize the learning experience of students, and the second one was to relieve the classroom environment from routine stuff that didn't need to be in the class.
Right.
And so that's how it kind of started, and I've been very interested in areas like listening comprehension for a while. I've been very interested in areas of feedback, the kind of feedback that you can do with students. I'm currently working, you know, going back in time, with answer markup systems so that students can enter their answers to questions or to transcriptions and then get very precise feedback as to what's going on here, what's going on there. And it doesn't rely on AI, it actually relies on proximity measures or on a little database of errors collected from an error analysis.
Right.
So that was one side. I'm very interested in on the autonomy side, I'm very interested in development of rhizomatic systems. Mm-hmm. And as part of the rhizomatic systems, I'm also very interested in finding ways of personalizing the research, personalizing the feedback and the access to resources to help people as they have moment-to-moment problems in their learning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you say to people, here's a project, go and do this, and they say, well, I can't do this thing, and I can't do that thing, right. And I can't do that thing, or they say it to themselves, and then they seek out the resources to help them. Connected with that is a thing called precision language education that I kind of, not quite launched, but I started talking about in 2017, and all of this stuff has been published, by the way. And the notion behind precision language education is that everybody's perceptual mechanisms are different. Mm-hmm. And therefore we need to adjust their perceptions of whatever it is that they're trying to learn to them rather than using a statistical model of how a class might learn or a group of people might learn.
Averages.
And we've started doing that using a theory of perception called verbotonal theory. Mm-hmm. Verbotonal theory has allowed us to identify some of the best ways of making that connection between perception and learning. And so I guess my latest piece of work, or my latest thinking, revolves around the notion of the interface mm-hmm. between perception and learning.
Right.
And so leaving it as general as that for the moment, but we have done some very specific work in China on the load on the brain, what happens when people listen to audio materials, and we've discovered that if you feed, for example, intonation through the left ear, and the same sentence in the right ear, but without filtering, the brain loses some of its load and can redistribute it towards perhaps better processing.
Right.
And that's coming out as an interesting experiment at the moment, but perhaps an interesting result in the future, because we've got one experiment that's worked where people increase their scores on a particular speaking task by 7% using a double-blind rating system, so nobody knew what they were rating. So 7% improvement. The p value was 0.001, so it's very high. And so we're at a point where we're starting to say the following: can we improve learning simply by manipulating the audio signal that's coming into people's ears?
Central process. Yeah, right.
So it's and then perhaps even saying, well, perhaps we need to tune it differently for each person. And that's where artificial intelligence will come in and be very handy.
Right. Fascinating. And I know that you have had and have a number of PhD students who are working with these concepts and ideas. We'll put a link in the show notes where you can learn more about Professor Lyon's research and also his PhD students. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you again. Wonderful seeing you here.
It's been great. Thank you. And thank you for being a keynote for us.
Thank you very much.
This year.
Thank you.